is my very good friend. I forgive him for how he spelled my name in the bulletin. Gary, you are forgiven. Now, something funny happened this morning. So, more than the kids left before me, and then because I was still preparing this morning, as it usually goes. And I was ready to come out, and I couldn't find my Bible, and I couldn't find my sermon. So I went to the room. I searched all the rooms. We don't have a big house. I searched the dining area, the kitchen. I couldn't find my sermon, and I searched the whole house again, and I couldn't find it. And it kind of seemed funny. Like, how is that possible? I just finished the sermon. How do you lose a sermon that you finished, you know, just a few minutes ago? And then later I looked by the door, and somehow I put my Bible and my sermon by the door, and I still couldn't remember even when I went to the door. But anyway, that was a moment of panic I went through this morning. Good. So, on a serious note, before I start the sermon, I thought I should take about 2 to 3 minutes to talk about something that has been on my heart this whole weekend. I tell you, I was burdened this weekend to, don't take this the wrong way. Yes, I was really burdened to pray for our church. I don't know what. I prayed a lot this weekend for our church, and I still felt like we need to pray for our church. Then, so I told Maud, you know, there's 2 Ghana churches, and one of them meets for their prayer meetings Saturday from 6 to 8. So I told Maud that we should go to that prayer meeting because we still needed to pray. So yesterday, Maud and I went to the prayer meeting and, you know, prayed with them or joined them in prayer. Even as they prayed for their church, you know, we prayed for our church. And so I want to encourage us all that we should all put our church on our prayer list, even as we pray daily. You know, it's interesting, only 2 weeks ago we had our prayer retreat. And at the prayer retreat, we prayed on several, you know, topics. And I thought that with this burden on my heart, I should just give you a quick, you know, the short version of some of the things that we prayed about. And I would really, really like you to actually take your pen and paper and note it on a piece of paper, you know, and just write them down and through the week, you know, pray over some of these things. And I'll just take a minute to just go through them. And Kirk, can you please bring that first slide up? These are a few of the things that we prayed over. The mortgage payoff. I mean, this is something that the church leaders believe it's important for us to do because we need to divert the money to ministries that we really want to do, you know, that we want to start. So we want to start certain ministries, but, you know, we need the money to do that. So all the money going into the church mortgage, we feel that if God will provide for us to take away the mortgage, we can use all that money for real, you know, ministry. And then ministries identified for 2014. You all remember the week just before Pastor left 2 weeks ago, he went through the list with us of, you know, ministries and mission projects that the church has identified that we want to, you know, partake in this year. So I would like us to pray seriously about those. It requires some direction. It requires, you know, prayer, it requires us, you and me, getting involved in what we plan to do this year. And then you remember 2 weeks ago, Joe preached on the need, you know, for us, our call to neighborhood missions, that we need to talk to our neighbors, we need to talk to our co-workers about Christ. Then the fourth one, praying for those who are sick. We all know we have a few people in our church who are sick and have been sick for a while. We've seen a lot of improvement even as we continue to pray. This morning, you know, most of us know Paul is really, really sick. And really, really sick. And I want you to really, really, really remember Paul in your prayer. That God's will be done. As I pray for Paul, I don't know. I find it difficult to even pray that God's will be done. I don't know why. I pray that God will heal him. And I find myself saying, that's the only prayer I can pray. So I want you to join me. Just pray that God will heal him. I know it's not the way to do it. You don't just pray, you know, that God heal him if that's not what God wants to do. But I'm being selfish here. I just pray that God will heal him. That is my prayer. And that may not be God's will, but that is my prayer. And I just want you to join me in prayer. You know, to let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you. We pray for Paul this morning. Father God, we commit him unto you. Father God, you know he's sick. And you know he's really, really sick. But Father God, your word tells us, oh God, that you are God our healer. And we also know that we are supposed to pray according to your will, God. But my prayer, Lord, is that you will help me, God. I know I pray your will be done. Father God, touch me, God. And touch the family, God. This morning I surrender to your will, God, that your will be done, God. And Lord, if it's your word that he be healed, oh God, then I pray in this pray this morning, oh God, that Father God, even now, oh God, that you will touch him, oh God, that you will heal him, oh God, even with your power, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, oh God. Father God, your word says, oh God, that you are prayer answering God, and that when your church prays, oh God, you hear us, oh God. So this morning I pray, oh God, for your touch upon him, oh God. I pray, oh God, that your strength from above will descend upon him, oh God. That Father God, indeed, oh God, you cause a miracle, oh God, among your people, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, oh God. That Father God, above all, we pray that your will, only your will, your good and perfect will be done, oh God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I apologize, I didn't plan for that. So the fifth one is, you know, the others. I think we all know what the others are. You know, there are some other prayer requests that I have of the church. Now, you may know something that you know we need to pray for the church. And then there is all those individual needs that we all have. So please note this down. You know, if you want to remember it, like, you know, Pastor does it, the first three, you know, all start with M, Mortgage Ministry Missions, right? You know, 3 M's. You know, that should help you remember it through the week. And then, of course, praying for the sick is not something that you forget, right? So, Mortgage Ministry Missions. And that should help you every time you pray to pray for those 3 M's and the S. Okay, so 3 M's, right? Okay. We can see that there is, you know, real need for our church to pray. Our church has some real needs. And in times like this, it's important for us to keep our faith up, you know, to really, really, you know, keep our faith up. And started writing this message actually it's been a couple of months ago when I started writing this message. I've had opportunities to pray since writing the message, but every time God gave me a new message to preach. And today I really, really believe this is what God wants us to hear. We see that the church today in the developed world is losing faith in the power of God. I really believe we are losing faith in the power of God, and we are relying more and more on reason and natural explanations. Now, I'm not saying that reason and natural explanations is wrong. I'm just saying that when you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you a bad health report, we tend to accept that as the ultimate truth. And we forget what God has to say about it. What does God have to say about that situation? We seem to be ignoring that God has the ultimate say about every situation. So my prayer today is that God will touch our faith, and that we will come to believe again that what is, you know, impossible to us, that God is able and more than able to do it through us, for somebody else or for us. Let's turn our Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 2 and 3, and the message today is on the God of impossibilities. The God of impossibilities. The God of impossibilities. Father God, I pray this morning, oh God. I pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, and I commit this sermon unto you, God. I pray, oh God, that you take absolute control over every heart here, oh God. Over every mind here, oh God. That, Father God, you speak to our hearts and to our minds, oh God. Your word says, oh God, a man comes before you and live the same. So, Father God, my prayer this morning, oh God, is that none of us will live here the same, oh God. Speak unto us, oh God. Holy Spirit, minister unto us, oh God. Set me aside, oh God, and speak. I'm only your instrument. I thank you and I bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So Daniel chapter 2 is a story of King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he had a dream that really troubled him so much that he knew that there was real meaning to the dream. And fearing that his advisors will tell him, you know, whatever that will please him, he actually told them that he wants his advisors to tell him what his dream was and also tell him what the dream means. Now, you and I know that that is basically impossible. Okay, if I came to you and I told you that I had a dream and I'm really troubled by my dream, so I want you to tell me my dream and also tell me what it means, we all know that's just impossible for anyone to do. So we go to verse 10. And in verse 10, the king's officials told him that no man can do such a thing. No man can do such a thing. Then in verse 11, the officials continued by saying that only the gods can do it. But they do not live among men. Only the gods can do it, but they do not live among men. Now, as we heard from the children's sermon, we worship a God that lives among men. And not only does he live among men, he actually lives with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, not only does he live with us, he actually lives in us. So we see that we worship a different kind of God. The God of gods. Now, moving on to verse 18 and 19, we see that Daniel and his three friends prayed to the God of heaven. And God revealed the dream and its meaning to Daniel. God revealed the dream and its meaning to Daniel when his people prayed. So God made possible what we all agree was impossible when his children prayed. Then in verse 47, the king acknowledged this, that the God of Daniel is the God of gods and the Lord of kings. The king acknowledged that no one, no God, can do what our God is able to do. Now, this was the acknowledgement of the pagan king, the king who did not know God. He acknowledged that our God is able to do what no one, no God, can do. So why is God's church, why is God's children not experiencing this supreme power of God? You remember Elijah on Mount Carmel, right? God was able to set fire to the firewood that was soaked with overflowing water. And the Bible said that he did it through Elijah, who the Bible describes as a man just like us. Now, you know, there is some significance to that description of Elijah as a man just like us. The importance of that is that the Bible is telling us is that Elijah was a man with similar flaws and doubts and unbelief, and yet God demonstrated so much power through him. You remember Moses, and we all know Moses was no perfect man. Now you remember Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt, and God directed them towards the Red Sea. Now if you think about that, going towards the Red Sea is not the way to go to Canaan, because you can't cross the Red Sea. But God directed them towards the Red Sea because God meant to show his power to Israel. And that was to be a lesson to you and me today as to how powerful our God is and what he's able to do, and that he's able to do what is impossible to you and I. If God divided the Red Sea, he can make a way out of your situation. Now, you remember Joseph, the dreamer, the big dreamer. Joseph went from his dad's favorite to being a slave, to being thrown in jail for many years. And it appeared as if his dream of becoming somebody big was over. But God took Joseph from prison to president in one day. In one day. Now, if God took Joseph from prison to president in one day, can you tell me what he cannot do? He can make a way for you as well. So again, why is God's church, why is God's own children not experiencing God's power in our lives? As I thought about this, you know, there's many things we can talk about, but I thought there's three things that we can look at. And these three things, or what I call three barriers, that may be preventing us from experiencing God's power in our lives. These barriers actually build upon each other. So we are just going to try to develop them. The first is the issue of trust. The first is the issue of trust. We are taught in our modern culture that if you don't get your hopes too high, then you won't be disappointed. And that's one issue that we have today. We can't trust our fellow men, and many times rightly so. But unfortunately, we extend that to God. That because people will let us down, maybe God will let us down too. Or Sometimes we say that we remember the time when we prayed for our brother, our sister to get healed and the person did not get well. Or we prayed for something and we didn't get it, right? So, you know, why get your hopes too high? Now, the irony of the situation is that Jesus said that if you have faith, you can tell your mountain, your problems to move and they will obey. Now, unfortunately, without faith, without that trust in God, the mountains don't move and the problems don't go away. I'm not sure if you realize the cycle that we find ourselves in. So we want God to make our mountains move so we will trust him. And God is saying, you need to trust me and your mountains will move. So we find ourselves in this cycle that we need to get out of. The woman with the issue of blood said, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be well. Now, that is faith. That is true faith. That is the kind of faith that makes issues go away. That is the faith that heals diseases. That's the faith that brings jobs. That's the faith that brings peace within our soul. That is the faith that moves the hand of God. We need to renew our minds so we don't get caught in that cycle of unbelief. Now, let's go to Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3, we see the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is the story where they refused to worship the golden image that the king had created for the whole country to worship. And since it's a nice story, I actually would like us to read it, starting from verse 17. I know we are behind time, but the good news is the package is not playing today. I'm actually going to read that. From verse 17, it says, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that were tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their God. Amen. So in the story that we just read, you notice that the difference maker was the fourth person, right? He was the difference maker, the fourth person in the oven, described by the king as looking like the son of the gods. The three young men would have burned to death but for the fourth person. They lived because of the fourth person. They were having a walk, okay? They went for a walk in the fire because of the fourth person. And we know the fourth person is a revelation of Emmanuel, God with us. God opened their eyes to see that he is with his children. That is Emmanuel, God with us. That was the fourth person. But we also learned that before the fourth person showed up, we notice the prayer of faith and trust in God from these three men. We see their spoken declaration in verse 17, a declaration of faith in God that their God is able to rescue them. They knew their God is able. They said that even if he doesn't do it, they know. They were absolutely, positively convinced that he is able to rescue them. What I'm saying is that they knew their God, and they knew what their God was able to do. And that leads me to the second problem that we have, and that is our lack of knowledge of God. Our lack of knowledge of God. The Bible says that for lack of knowledge, my people perish. Now, we worship the same mighty God of Daniel, the same mighty God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But the issue we have is that I believe we do not know him as well. We do not know his word or his promises well enough to be able to declare it, to be able to pray it in our time of need. Now, what is God's word that you need when you are sick and you need healing? When you are afraid? When you are in danger? When you feel you can't do something you know you need to do? When the devil is threatening to kill or harm you? What is God's word of encouragement that you need in these examples and in other situations? Do you know that when you are sick, the Bible says, "I am the Lord your healer"? Do you know that when you are afraid, the Bible says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of boldness and of sound mind? Do you know that when you are in danger, the Bible says, 1,000 foes will fall on your left, 10,000 on your right-hand side, but they will not come near you? Do you know when you feel you can't do something you really know you need to do, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Do you know when the devil is threatening to kill or harm you, the Bible says, do not touch the Lord's anointed or do his prophets no harm? Okay, there is an answer in the Bible for everything. But do you know God's word for your situation? Do you know your God that well? Let's say your great-granddad passed on an inheritance to you. That is worth a lot. But you do not know that he passed on this inheritance to you. I can promise you, you can live in poverty your whole life, even though you are worth a lot. Faith moves mountains. Faith creates miracles. Faith makes problems go away. But where does faith come from? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You can't be poor, even though you have inherited much, if you don't know what you got. We really need to get into His word to build up our faith. We need to pray based on God's word and His promises in His word. We need to take time out of our busy days and really, truly study His word. If you are a reader, you know, those who like to read, then in addition to reading the Bible, read books written by men of God that expounds, that exposes the word of God. Not just novels. If you are not a reader, like some of us are, you know, find CDs, preaching, you know, and listen to them. These days, even the Bible app, okay, can read the Bible to you whilst you listen to it. You really have no excuse. There are even TV evangelists, okay, who preaches real truth, okay, who preaches real doctrine. So in addition to coming to church, you know, you can find some of these and listen to them. Remember I said in addition to, it's not in place of coming to church. Okay, in addition to coming to church, you can listen to some of these to build up your faith. When you miss church on Sunday, what are you supposed to do? Talk to Kerry. Talk to Rob. Get a CD. Or even better, now Gary puts every Sunday's message on our website. Go listen to it. You miss church, you don't have to miss the message. That is the kind of, you know, days we live in now. When you put scriptures together, the Bible says, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And faith moves mountains. We need His word to build our faith and experience His power. Now, the third and final barrier I want to touch on is our lack of persistence. Our lack of persistence. Now, there are instances where you may know God's word for your situation and may also trust that He will do it. But we lack the persistence to wait on God. We are not patient. We want everything like we get McDonald's right now. Even though we know God's timing is not our timing. After all, the Bible says, 1,000 years is like a day before the Lord. And a day to us is like 1,000 years before the Lord. So, right, we know our timing is not like God's timing. But we want God to abide by our timing. We are not patient. So we pray for 2 days. We don't see anything and we give up. Our lack of persistence makes us give up so easily and tell ourselves that maybe it's not God's will that we receive it. Now, don't get me wrong here, because I have taught on prayer, I mean, for many, many years, okay? So I know somebody is saying, what about Paul? The Bible says that Paul prayed many times that God would take the thorn out of his flesh. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. So the thorn did not go away. But God gave him the peace he needed to live with it. So we all know God doesn't always do the way we want him to, right? I was talking to somebody this week, and he says something that I actually wrote it down. He says, when you pray, sometimes God says yes. Sometimes he says no. And sometimes he says, you've got to be kidding me. I thought that is very, very true. Okay, so we know, okay, God is not Santa Claus, okay? God is God. I mean, even Jesus, okay, even the Lord, the Bible says that before he was arrested and beaten up and crucified, the Bible tells us that he prayed 3 times for God to take the cup away, the suffering he was about to go through, for God to make it pass by him. But you and I know that for our sake, he had to go through it. Even Jesus, okay, prayed for something that was not in God's will, and God did not do it. Even Christ, okay. So clearly, there are times when it may be that it's not God's will that we receive what we pray for. Like in Paul or in Jesus' example for us to learn from. And that happens many times. Either because our prayer is not in God's will, or sometimes we know God's will, but we just don't like it. So we still pray anyway, hoping that God might still do something about it, right? I mean, after all, you remember in the case of Abraham, God provided the sacrifice so that he didn't have to use his son. So maybe God might do the same for us, right? You know, and who knows? You know, so you know, we convince ourselves with these things, but we know God may say yes, no, or sometimes he may even say, you've got to be kidding me. Now, having said that though, there are many times when we don't receive, not because our prayer is not in line with God's word, but because we give up too easily and it doesn't show faith in God. God doesn't go on the McDonald's schedule. So in Luke chapter 18, the Bible says that Jesus taught his disciples, he told them a story to tell them that there is real need for them to persist in prayer and not give up so easily. That is Luke 18 verse 1. It doesn't really mean that we will get what we asked for because we persisted, but it means that we might get it because we persisted. You remember the story of the bedridden man, the guy who was so paralyzed that his friends had to carry him to Jesus. And Jesus was in this house that was packed with people, that there was no way for them to get him to Jesus. But they persisted. They found a way. I'm sure they may have heard so much about Christ that they knew that if only they could get their friend to Jesus, he will be healed. So they persisted. So they got their friend to Jesus. And Bible says that Jesus praised their faith for their persistence. Persistence in prayer demonstrates faith in God. Sometimes we think our problem is so big or so particular that we cannot even think of how even God will do it. Now, let's take one thing for example. Let's take our church goal of paying off our mortgage. Let's think about it humanly. If we divided up the mortgage by the number of families in the church, think about how much each family will have to pay. And you think about that and you say, no, we can't do it. It's just not going to happen if you think about it that way. But we have God with us. And the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So why can't he help us raise $55,000? If we truly believe and agree with him to do this, and we pray persistently that he will provide. I tell you, God can cause somebody to bless you, and if you tithe out of your blessing, and God causes somebody to bless me, and I tithe out of my blessing, I tell you, we'll be on our way. After all, God caused King Nebuchadnezzar to promote Daniel to governor over the whole region of Babylon. God caused that same king to promote his three friends to governors. God caused Pharaoh to promote Joseph to vice president. God can lift you up and put you on a higher ground than you are now. It could be with your health, your family, a relationship that needs rebuilding, a new job you are looking for, a promotion you are waiting on. God can do it. Sometimes, God can even pursue us with opportunity. I know when we give examples from the Bible, you know, sometimes it comes to our mind that, yeah, but that's all from the Bible. What is God doing today? Is God still in the business of lifting people up? Is God still in the business of healing like he did, like we read in the Bible? Now, my Bible tells me that God never changes. And my Bible tells me that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So my Bible, if I deduce from it, tells me that God still does miracles. God still heals. God still provides. God still looks after his children. That is what my Bible tells me. Now, as I conclude this message, I thought in that spirit of, you know, all my examples coming from Bible, maybe I should share with you one quick story in my own life that really always demonstrates to me that God is always in control and God always looks after his children. And I know that if I gave you the same opportunity, we all have a story to say when God came through for us. God hasn't changed. A few years ago, and my family know this, a few years ago, I worked in public accounting. I worked for many years in public accounting, and most of the church knows I did travel a lot, so I was never at home. I did that for 11 years, always on the road. And it got to a point where I felt as if I needed a change. I needed a job that will keep me at home. And so I started praying for God to provide me with a new job that will keep me at home. I prayed for one whole year. And for a year, I prayed about this, and I did get some jobs, some interviews. It wasn't what I was looking for. And the ones I really, really wanted, I didn't get it. So I kept praying for a year. And one day I was in a neighborhood, and I remember that I have a friend that used to work with us. And he works for, he had many years of experience more than me. And he got this new job where he's one of the vice presidents of this company. So I was around that place, so I called him if he's there. He said he was there, then I went to visit him. And he knew I was looking for a job, so he asked me how my job search is going. I told him not too well, but it's okay, I have a job. Then he said that there is an opening that's about to happen at where he works. So he told me what the job is about and asked me if I'll be interested in applying for it. I heard it. I told him it wasn't what I was looking for, so I wasn't interested. So I left. 2 weeks later, he called me again and told me that the job that he told me before and I said I wasn't interested, the job has opened up, and am I willing to apply for it? I told him, thank you, but no. That's not what I'm looking for. Then he called my friend and told my friend to convince me to apply for the job. So my friend came to me and started talking to me about the job. Then he said, I know you are looking for something else. You are looking for something that, you know, you're always talking about the money, right? Looking for something that pays more. But, you know, have you thought about how this job will keep you at home? This job will make you be with your family. And I thought that's what you are looking for. I said, oh, absolutely. I applied for the job. I told the deacons, they prayed with me. I went through, it still doesn't come easy, all right? I went through many steps of interviews all the way to the CEO, and thank God, you know, I got the job. And it's been a great blessing. I tell you, God sometimes can even pursue us with opportunity. He gives us things so clearly, and sometimes we even don't see it. And like I said, I know we all have a story when God came through for us. God does not change. God is still in the business of saving. God is still in the business of working for his people. God is still in the business of healing his people. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is God. And he does the impossible. You know, the Bible says in James 1:16 that all good and perfect gifts comes from above, coming down from the Father in heaven. Jesus promised that God takes care of the lilies of the field, so he will take care of us. We must always remember the God we worship. He is the God of impossibilities. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is too difficult for him to do. Do you today trust that God can take care of your particular situation? That God can meet the needs of our church? And will you pray based on God's word that he takes care of it? And are you going to persist? Not pray one day, not pray 2 days. No, that's usually what we do. We have the prayer retreat, and I love it that we do that because it brings us all together. But it appears as if after we've done that, then we are done. But that's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to continue to pray about these things. It's not just one day prayer. We persist. When we're back home, there was an acronym that we used to use. It's called push, pray until something happens. Okay? You pray until something happens. You pray until you either see your answer or you hear God tell you, you've got to be kidding me. I tell you, yes or no makes no difference. You've still got an answer. There's a hymn that I like so much. Hymn 484 in the Baptist hymn. And we used to sing it at home, although we only sang the chorus, because the chorus is really what lifts us our spirit. He prays that God will lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher ground than I have found now. That could be our prayer today. And we'll have us sing that song together. I'll ask the music team to come together. I'm going to say a prayer, then we're going to sing this song. We're going to sing it as a song of prayer that God will lift us up on a higher ground than we are now. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your word for us today, O God. I give you glory and I bless your name, O God. This is the word that you have for us today, O God. And I thank you that you've spoken unto our hearts, O God. And indeed, I pray on your promises, O God, that man comes before you and live the same. And I pray, O God, that indeed your word will work on our hearts, O God. Help us, O God, to be obedient to your word, O God. To not be doers only, to not be hearers only, but be doers of your word, O God. To go home and persist in prayer. To go home and study, really study your word, O God. Lord God, help us to keep our faith. Bless your church, O God. Show us your power, O God. Lift up our faith up, O God. Like the man who prayed to Jesus and said, Lord, help my unbelief. Help our unbelief, O God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now we're going to sing this song as a song of prayer. I want to ask Pastor to come forward. If you like a prayer, he will pray with you. But I want us to just concentrate on the words and just sing it. Shall we all please rise? Just sing it as prayer, as our prayer to God.